Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Fast Fill. Fast Fill is a new podcast series sponsored by Natural Gas Vehicles for America. We're the national organization dedicated to the development of a growing, profitable, and sustainable marketplace for vehicles powered by natural gas and biomethane, and for promoting the use of more natural gas in general in transportation. I'm your host, Dan Gage, president of NGV America, and joining me today is Ms. Rasha Prince, director of Customer Energy Solutions for NGV America member Southern California Gas Company, a Sempra energy utility. Rasha is also a relatively new member of the NGV America Board of Directors, and it's my pleasure to welcome you, Rasha, to our program.
Well, hello, everyone, and thanks for inviting me, Dan. It's my pleasure to join you today.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a pleasure to get to know you these last 6 months or so since you joined the board. I did a little research before our conversation today, and just out of my own curiosity, and I've found that SoCal Gas traces its roots back to 1867. So that's, you know, just post-Civil War. But 1867, when the then LA Gas Company first installed 43 newly manufactured gas lamps in downtown Los Angeles. So that's a 150-plus year history in the consumer service space in the state. So I thought before we get into some of the details, I'd just ask you to share a little bit with us, a little quick snapshot of SoCal Gas's service territory and operations today. And obviously, since those early days, SoCal Gas has grown to become the nation's largest natural gas distribution utility. That's correct, right?
That's correct, Dan. We're headquartered in sunny Los Angeles, and we proudly deliver affordable, reliable, clean, and increasingly renewable gas to about 22 million customers across 24,000 square miles between Central and Southern California. Yeah, we've come a long way since 1867. Today, more than 90% of residents in our service territory use natural gas for heating, hot water, cooking, and other uses. Gas that's delivered through our pipeline system also plays a key role in providing electricity to Californians, since about 45% of the electric power generated in California comes from gas-fired power plants. Last year, we announced our vision to be the cleanest gas utility in North America, delivering affordable and increasingly renewable energy to our customers. In support of that vision, we committed to replacing 20% of our traditional natural gas that we supply to our core customers with renewable gas by 2030. And with renewable energy being an increasingly important part of California's clean energy future, we're excited about our vision, since renewable gas that comes from waste created by dairy farms, landfills, and wastewater treatment plants is considered a carbon neutral fuel and often carbon negative.
Wow, that's interesting. Thinking back to the to your numbers here that you just presented, 45% of electric power generated in the state of California still comes from gas-fired power plants. That's interesting. And you said that 20% of your traditional natural gas that you supply, or 20% of the gas supply, will be renewable by 2030. That's 10 years away.
Yeah, that's the goal we committed to.
Well, great. Well, I've had the pleasure over the last several years here in this job to work with so many SoCal Gas professionals, a really talented group of innovators. Tell me a little bit more about your role in the company and your history, and, you know, how long have you been in the industry?
Yeah, sure. I started my career with SoCal Gas right after I graduated from university. I've been with SoCal Gas for about 28 years. And in my current role as Director of Customer Energy Solutions for a little over 5 years now. I'm responsible for managing service primarily to SoCal Gas's wholesale, electric generation, commercial and industrial, agricultural, and clean transportation customers. I'm also responsible for managing service to and the relationship with in-state producers that interconnect with and deliver gas into our system. And that's both natural gas and renewable gas. Before this role, I was SoCal Gas's Director of Regulatory Affairs. And earlier in my career here, I held various other positions in the marketing, regulatory affairs, customer solutions, and where I first started my career in the underground storage department.
That's a pretty varied portfolio, a lot of different roles and responsibilities. How do you think the industry has changed? You know, how's it changed today from, say, when you first started?
Oh, yeah, the industry has certainly had some changes, especially in more recent years. So the biggest and most meaningful change I've observed is the intensified shift to focus on reducing carbon emissions associated with the energy that we use in our homes, businesses, and in transportation. And this isn't just in California or even the United States, but it's a global effort to varying degrees. Here in California, energy efficiency, conservation, and air quality improvement have been high priorities for a few decades. And over the past 10 to 20 years, increasingly ambitious policies and goals have been and continue to be put in place to step up the effort to address the climate change challenge. And a lot of investments going into development of cleaner technologies and fuels recently.
Yeah, California has definitely been a leader in that push. And I guess it's safe to say that California is among the most aggressive, if not the most aggressive, sort of proactive policymaking state when it comes to energy efficiency and conservation and clean air, climate change. Just thinking about the creation of the California Air Resources Board way back in the 1960s, right, to its focus on greenhouse gas emissions in the early 2000s, right? Both, I might add, under Republican governors. But what are some of California's sort of most ambitious goals as they relate to SoCal Gas in your portfolio?
California has been a leader in setting some of the most progressive climate and air quality related mandates and goals. There are several ambitious goals that relate to SoCal Gas and our customers. Some of them are contained in Senate Bill 32, which requires the Air Resources Board to ensure that statewide greenhouse gas emissions are reduced to at least 40% below the 1990 level by 2030. In addition, our former governor, Jerry Brown, issued an executive order that requires the state to reach carbon neutrality by 2045. And we also have Senate Bill 350, which requires, among other things, doubling of the energy efficiency goals out to 2030. Now, some of the more recent regulations impacting the mobility sector include the California Air Resources Board's innovative clean transit rule and their advanced clean trucks rule, and both of these which signal a move towards zero emission fuels and technology. Another challenge we have here in California is that two of our air districts, the South Coast and the San Joaquin, are in extreme non-attainment for air quality, and they both have to attain federal air quality standards in the next few years. The South Coast needs to attain the federal one-hour ozone standard by 2023, and San Joaquin has to attain the federal PM2.5 standard by 2024.
Yeah, I think in this rush to a lot of policymakers in this rush to figure out the greenhouse gas situation, we often forget about some of these criteria pollutants, these very real, smog precursor, NOx, SOx, particulate matter objectives that were established years ago and are still very, the easy stuff's been done. And so you still have these really aggressive thresholds to meet in the very near future. So as a gas utility that provides, a very important service or product, right, to its residential customers, commercial customers, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, each and every year, right, without interruption. And you're expected to do that in the most efficient, cost-effective, safe, affordable way that you can for your customers, right, and for the communities you serve. It's probably very difficult to mesh that real world responsibility, right, providing that service to these homes and businesses with some of these really large aspirational targets under some very, really strict timelines, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's challenging indeed. SoCal Gas believes that a portfolio approach that allows and encourages multiple pathways and technologies for both service providers and customers to meet the state's goals is the best approach. A mix of natural gas, renewables, both gas and electric, and hydrogen in the mobile and stationary sectors will be needed to achieve both near and long-term goals. And all available technologies are definitely needed, and they should be viewed as complementary, not as competing. We believe we have clean and affordable solutions and options today for our customers, and we're also working to bring even more innovative solutions to the table in the future. we talked a little bit about energy efficiency. With respect to that, SoCalGas has risen to the challenge by increasing our focus on partnering with customers to promote energy efficiency technologies and behaviors. In fact, in the past 5 years alone, SoCalGas energy efficiency programs have delivered more than 208 million therms in energy savings. That's enough natural gas usage for 127,000 households a year, and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 1.1 million metric tons, the equivalent of removing over 238,000 gasoline-powered cars from the road. And speaking of cars, mobile sources, especially medium and heavy-duty trucks that run on diesel and petroleum fuels, are the largest contributor to the formation of ozone, greenhouse gas emissions, fine particulate matter, and toxic diesel particulate matter. In California, they're responsible for approximately 80% of smog-forming nitrogen oxide emissions. They also represent about 50% of greenhouse gas emissions when including emissions from fuel production, and more than 95% of toxic diesel particulate matter emissions. Obviously, the sooner we replace polluting cars and trucks with cleaner ones, the better. In 2018, former California Governor Brown also signed an executive order that was aimed at curbing pollution from cars and trucks, and it called for a target of 5 million zero-emission vehicles in California by 2030. While zero-emission passenger vehicles are here today, it may be a while before we have zero-emission heavy-duty trucks that are able to meet the demands of drayage and long-haul applications' operational requirements. And the aggressive near-term air quality goals can't be met by waiting. So coming back to your...
I'm going to ask you, you just said you're going to come back to that. So that's the challenge, right? We've got these really stringent goals and thresholds that have to be met in the near term. And yet, technology approach, you know, how do we address that if some of these zero, you know, zero, what's deemed a zero emission technology. And again, natural gas, you and I both know this, but for our listeners, natural gas is a 0.02, right? Grams per braking horsepower per hour standard. So it's sort of like, I always try to equate it to the layman, like Ivory soap, right? We're 99.9% pure. We're not quite 100% because we still do have that small tailpipe, but it's, our technology is can replace a petroleum or a diesel fuel 1-to-1 today affordably. We don't quite have that yet with some of these others. So what's the outlook for that? How do we face that?
Yeah, right. So how do we face these goals within the real world timelines? And the way we do that is to focus on what we can to help move the needle to accelerate our ability to meet near-term and long-term air quality and climate goals by focusing on technology, as you noted, clean fuels, and education. On technology, SoCalGas supported Cummins Westport in the development of both the 8.9 liter and the 11.9 liter near zero engines over a 5-year period. The near zero emission natural gas engines were certified by the California Air Resources Board to meet the 0.02 grams optional low NOx standard in 2017 and 2018. They've proven to be a cost-effective solution in reducing criteria pollutant emissions. They emit 90% less NOx than the diesel trucks on the road today, and additionally reduce carbon emissions when using renewable gas. They're able to do everything a diesel truck can do in terms of range, power, and fuel time. They're currently being used in port drayage, long-haul, refuse, and transit applications. So the natural gas vehicles with renewable gas as a fuel is available in our real-world timeline to achieve the air quality and climate change goals.
Tell us a little bit, too, about some of the clean fuels, then, that you all are working with.
Oh, yeah. Regarding clean fuels, we transitioned 100% of SoCalGas CNG fueling stations to renewable gas. I'm proud to say that all of our SoCalGas-owned vehicle fueling stations, including 15 that are heavy-duty accessible and open to the public, are now running on 100% renewable gas. What's even more exciting is that the cost of renewable gas fuel at the pump is cheaper than diesel or gasoline. We average about $2.10 per gasoline gallon equivalent at our public access stations. And we're able to offer this because as a regulated utility, we return most of the revenues generated from California's low carbon fuel standard credits directly back to reduce the price at the pump. About 80% of the natural gas used in transportation in California is renewable gas. And when renewable gas is used to fuel vehicles, it can provide major reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in addition to the air quality benefits. And renewable gas has the lowest carbon intensity fuels of all the fuels in the LCFS program, much lower than electricity. In fact, AMP Americas, a renewable natural gas producer, was assigned a carbon intensity of negative 254.94 carbon dioxide equivalent units per megajoule for one of its dairy digester projects. That's the lowest ever assigned by the California Air Resources Board. According to California ARB, renewable gas sourced from dairy manure can result in a 400% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions when replacing traditional fuel vehicles. And even though the mobility sector is one of the largest emission profiles in California, we at SoCalGas are cognizant of the value of expanding low-carbon fuel use in other market sectors. That's why we've also applied with the California Public Utilities Commission to be able to offer a voluntary renewable gas procurement tariff to our residential and core commercial and industrial customers. Again, we have a solution that supports climate change goals with renewable gas. We don't have to wait.
And the reality is that from, you know, some of the California Air Resources Board information you just shared, natural gas, or renewable natural gas, I should say. So renewable gas is the cleanest transportation option right now. It beats even renewable electric. So how do you get that word out, right? I mean, the other probably leg in that stool is education and outreach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what has been critically important is the continued outreach and education, not just with customers, but also with policymakers and agencies on the benefits of natural gas trucks with the use of renewable gas. Since clean natural gas trucks exist today with the capability to meet the operational and performance requirements, with the added benefit of significantly reducing emissions over the diesel alternatives, we focus on promoting their adoption in fleets throughout our service territory, most specifically within the heavy duty or class 7 and 8 markets. At SoCalGas, we make it a priority to inform and assist our customers with various natural gas vehicle grant and incentive opportunities. Just in the past 4 years, our employees have educated over 2,000 fleet and owner operators in our service territory, and have also provided technical and administrative support to over 500 customers applying for incentive funding opportunities for 800 heavy-duty trucks and 26 CNG stations. And that's allowed us to grow the number of near-zero emissions natural gas trucks on the road. Mm-hmm. And SoCalGas has also been a pioneer in finding practical ways to support fleet owners in truly understanding the value of the natural gas trucks. So Dan, if I were to ask you to buy a $200,000 car because it was excellent, would you buy it without test driving it?
I wouldn't buy any car before I test drove it, but no way.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't. But what if I told you to take my word for it and that it was the best ride you'd ever purchase and it would meet all of your needs? How about then?
Rasha, I think very highly of you and all of your technical expertise, but I'd still think I'd want to drive it, or at least have my guys drive it, right? My team drive it. Yeah.
All right, Dan, it's okay. I don't take it offensively. But if you look at the policies, that's often the position that customers are being put in, to blindly purchase something based on someone's word or report. So we developed the truck loan program that lets a customer try before you buy. And through this program, a customer is able to borrow a truck for about 2 weeks at no cost to them to test their own payload and see for themselves how it feels and performs. And we even provide a fuel card. So this has allowed customers the opportunity to really test out the technology and have confidence in switching to a natural gas truck for themselves and for their fleet. So I just wanted to point out, in the San Joaquin Valley alone, the local air district and the California Air Resources Board have committed to turning over 33,000 heavy-duty trucks to low NOx or better by 2024. Near zero, low NOx natural gas trucks are available today, and we are trying to get the word out. So, to sum all that up, California has some ambitious targets. Experts have weighed in, acknowledging that a one-track, one energy or fuel source path will not help California reach its goals. There is a need for a balanced approach with a portfolio of solutions, and natural gas trucks with renewable gas can help do that.
Yeah, I think that your truck loan program, I know Northwest Natural, also a West Coast utility that's a member of ours, they have a very aggressive program in Oregon to do some of the same. It's really important, right? And that, so I'm amazed that policymakers are suggesting that, you know, it's that the one heavy duty solution has to be electric. And I know we don't want to get into all those details today, and we can't get in those details today, but, you know, they almost forget the fact that natural gas vehicles are the number one most sustainable, proven, and affordable alternative fuel, medium and heavy duty option on the road. And so, you know, they're zero emissions equivalent, as you mentioned. They can be carbon neutral or even negative, depending on their fuel source, which we just went through, right, with the renewable natural gas. And it's tested technology, right? We have a mature refueling infrastructure. So you are, you know, you talked a little bit about your stations, and those are just the stations, right, that you operate. But there are stations throughout your service territory that folks can access. You have an advanced network of service providers coast to coast. You know, it's a commercially ready right now technology. And I know I'm preaching to the choir when I talk to you about this, but we can transform our transportation sector with technologies that are existing today. And, you know, when we think about it, 30 plus years of design and improvement since the first natural gas heavy duty trucks were out on the road. I mean, it's a cost effective, responsible way to achieve carbon zero transportation immediately. And so what frustrates me so much is, you know, there's no state that promotes its green credentials more than California. I just frustrated that, you know, there seems to be among regulators a growing unwillingness to support and fund an all of the above approach to emissions reduction, right? Why do you think you're sitting in California this morning? Why do you think this sudden unwillingness to promote RNG fueled heavy duty trucks and buses? Can you give us any insight into that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Dan. And I'm not sure there's a good answer. California has been shifting towards renewables and low carbon resources for decades. But over the past several years, policymakers have gravitated towards a singular pathway without regard to unintended consequences. With the mobility sector being one of the highest contributors to air quality and GHG emissions, it would only make sense to put a carbon negative fuel to use. But we continue to see policies exclusively favoring battery electric technology. A recent example in the transportation sector is the Advanced Clean Trucks Regulation that was adopted by the California Air Resources Board in June of this year. The regulations intended to shift California's medium and heavy duty truck market to zero emission technology, and it requires manufacturers beginning in 2024 to increase their zero emission truck sales to between 30 and 50% by 2030 and between 40 and 75% by 2035. The regulation didn't include near zero technologies or consider near-term goals. And even in the broader energy delivery system, there seems to be some underappreciation for the role that the gas grid plays by providing the fuel needed for the backup gas-fired generation that the electric grid relies on. As more renewables are added to the electric grid, the electricity produced becomes more variable and less predictable. This unpredictability is typically offset by having dispatchable gas-fired power plants that can ramp up and down as the wind and sun ebb and grow. The gas grid operated by SoCalGas, SDG&E, and PG&E is the key to being able to address the volatility and unpredictability that the availability of wind and the sun, or lack thereof, instill into the system. In effect, maintaining a capable and responsive gas grid is a key enabler for decarbonizing the energy system and achieving the state's climate policy goals. Again, the state needs to balance its long-term goals and the near-term needs of the regions to reach attainment and to immediately improve public health. To do that, we strongly support and encourage a portfolio approach of all zero, low carbon, and definitely negative carbon technologies and fuels, including natural gas, hydrogen, and electricity. And as I mentioned earlier, these should be viewed as complementary technologies and fuels. Dan, the good news in all of this is that despite the challenges with policies, we've seen an increase in the use and sales at our NGV stations over the past several years. And this tells me the outreach and education efforts that our industry has been doing and the dynamic way organizations like NGVA have engaged the public through their websites and social platform is effective.
I think, you know, since I've been with NGV America these past few years, I have seen sort of, like you mentioned, a growing interest and inquiry into natural gas. And it seems to me that fleets, you know, say 5-10 years ago, were driven more by mostly by the bottom line, right? Diesel prices were so high. Natural gas was stable. It's much cheaper. And that's what drew them to look into the natural gas options. But as more and more fleets are looking at sustainability, about being good corporate citizens, about being good, you know, good citizens all around in terms of their environmental footprint, natural gas seems to be just a clear, cost-effective solution for so many fleets, whether it's, as you mentioned, drayage or refuse or short or long haul. What are some of the other challenges that you see on the horizon? What's left? I mean, we've talked a lot about education. We've talked a little bit about technology. We've talked about the introduction of renewable natural gas and how that brings, you know, a carbon neutral or carbon net zero or carbon net negative result. What do you think some of the other challenges are for the natural gas and transportation industry as we move forward into to the end of 2020 into 2021?
Yeah, and I mean, to underscore some of the earlier points in our conversation, Dan, we do need to keep working towards making all emission reducing technologies and pathways available and to maximizing their adoption as they are or become commercial if we're going to meet our near-term and long-term air quality and climate change goals. We need to continue to advance renewable technologies and fuels, again, both gas and electric. The industry has worked really hard to advance natural gas transportation technologies and fuels. And for some time now, California has accelerated natural gas vehicle deployment, driven by statewide policy goals related to air quality and climate change. And we should keep the momentum going, as it's very much needed today. But the biggest challenge before us as an industry and a nation is the rebuilding of our economy as a result of the recent or current pandemic. And let's face it, the goods movement, trucks that deliver these goods, are the economic engines of our economy. And we need to equip them with solutions that support our carbon reduction goals while also allowing them to operate effectively, efficiently, and affordably. The only viable solution today is the use of near zero trucks and renewable gas.
Well, I agree with that. And I think that's a good segue too, Rasha. Thank you for that, into me reminding some of our listeners that NGV America is in the process of producing several really interesting reports and documents that are going to demonstrate both in a variety of applications, just those benefits. And when we talk about how we as a nation, we're going to respond to some of this COVID pandemic, it's going to have a big impact on the monies that are available, right, to invest in alternative fuel vehicles, the monies that are available in order to address the climate change needs that we have. And so we can't just look at what is maybe what some might view as the utopian solution. We need to look at what those solutions are that are before us, that are achievable, that are reachable, and that are affordable today. And as you and I both know, natural gas trucks fueled by renewable natural gas provide they check all the boxes. So I thank you, Rasha, for joining us. Really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to you, our listeners, for
This is Dan Gage. Just a disclaimer that SoCalGas's goal to replace 20% of traditional natural gas with renewable natural gas by 2030 is for its core customers. So it's for core customer deliveries and not necessarily for SoCalGas's entire throughput.
For more information on NGV America's priorities and initiatives, visit our website at ngvamerica.org. There you can sign up for NGV America's weekly newsletter. For more information on how SoCalGas is advancing real innovation to improve Southern California's air quality, the economy, and way of life, you can find all that at SoCalGas.com. Share any comments you have with us on today's podcast via email at info@ngvamerica.org. And be sure to follow us on all your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. On behalf of SoCalGas's Rasha Prince and the entire NGV America team, I'm Dan Gage. Thanks again for joining us. You just experienced the Fast Fill. Until next time.